Hey everyone, this is Russ, and I am excited to be rolling out the first episode of the Wealthcare Advisor Spotlight. Today, we're joined by Brad Michaels. Brad, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, Russ.
Yeah, well, thanks for joining us. Really excited to talk to you today. Why don't we jump right in, and why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, what you do, and kind of why you do it?
All right. Well, I guess I'll start with the second part of that first. Why I do it is because my prior career was as a wholesaler for a investment company slash insurance entity. And, you know, as I've always told people, what that showed me through the 14 years of doing it was the good, the bad, and the ugly in our business. There's plenty of good. There's a little bit of ugly, but there's plenty of bad. And so that was really kind of my motivation to decide, you know, back in 2005, that I was actually going to use the company's money, if you will, and go get my CFP certification, with the end goal being that at some point I would actually get into the business in some form or capacity. Primarily as a registered investment advisor or with another registered investment advisory firm.
So you mentioned 05 when you kind of started working on your CFP and that sort of thing while you were still in your, as I understand it, while you're still as operating as a wholesaler. Is that right?
That is correct.
So about how long have you actually been a practicing advisor now?
So I actually resigned from my corporate gig in February of 09.
Got it.
And at that point, literally started out with nothing and said, you know what, I'm going to go do this. And basically hung my own shingle, started my own registered investment advisory firm. Went into it knowing that, you know what, if I don't make any money for 2 to 3 years, I'm okay with that. My wife, on the other hand, probably wasn't okay with that. But, you know, as time progressed, started out on my own, did end up finding Wealthcare about, let's call it 16, 18 months into it. And then that ultimately led to me partnering up with the gentleman that I had known through my days as a wholesaler, who got me involved with the Financial Planning Association and the like. And he and I basically came to an agreement of me working to take over his practice. And that was in probably 2012.
Got it. I'm sure out of all the conversations you and I have had over the years, you've probably covered this before, but how did you mentioned finding Wealthcare. How did you find Wealthcare at the time? Do you remember?
Yeah, it was actually pretty simple. I was starting out, you know, creating my own model portfolios using, I don't remember what the financial planning software was, but it was arduous to say the least. And it didn't take me very long to realize, you know what, I get no enjoyment whatsoever out of creating models and, you know, basically going out there and screening for mutual funds, et cetera, on behalf of my clients. And so I said, you know what, I need to go find that third party entity. And I knew a bunch of them because they were entities that I worked with and had called on, such as InvestNet, Lockwood, SEI, Asset Mark at the time, and many others. And literally knew the way that they worked and knew I really didn't want to work with any of them. And so I literally went into Google, typed in third party, either asset managers or third party investment managers. And I know it wasn't on the first page of results. It might not have even been on the second page of results, and came across basically Wealthcare. You know, I guess finance were at the time from a planning software standpoint. And went to the website and literally spent, I would say, the better part of 3 days reading all of Dave Loper's white papers and came to the realization that, you know what, at least Dave, if not the firm, has the same worldview that I do, and literally picked up the phone, called Wealthcare, introduced myself and said, hey, I'm interested in possibly working with you guys. And they point blank said, what, do you want to come to Richmond and kick the tires? I was like, sure, I can get on a plane and do that. And keep in mind, I had, hell, at the time, probably only a few million dollars in assets.
Right.
But I was literally trying to find that partner that made sense for the way I view things, but also the way that I think a client should view things.
Well, that I don't know if you told me the Google story before, but that's actually pretty cool. And if you know, let's say this was 2012-ish, or whatever the time frame was that you kind of found WealthCare, and you said at the time you maybe had a few million in AUM. Can you give us a little kind of a high level picture of where your business is at today in terms of like either AUM or number of clients or however you like to kind of think about your business?
Yeah. So, you know, again, starting out with basically nothing. And I still remember the conversation with WealthCare after I'd gone and visited and checked things out and spent some time with Dave and came back to him and said, okay, how does this work? And they said, well, you know, you got two choices. You can keep your registered investment advisory firm and utilize our services, you know, and you would actually do all the manual stuff, if you will, applications, paperwork, et cetera, et cetera. Or you could come under our corporate RIA and we'll take care of all that for you. And you don't have to do any of that. And you could drop or close your existing RIA. And I said, okay, what does that mean to, you know, what I get paid and what it costs my client? And they said, it's the same either way. I said, well, that makes that easy. So therefore I joined WealthCare, closed my existing RIA and continued to grow that business, if you will. But the growth of that business probably only lasted about maybe a year as the other opportunity came up, which is where I am today, Financial Architects. And was able to broker a deal basically with the prior owner of how we would transition that business through sweat equity, through compensation, et cetera, to basically take that over 100%. So I am duly registered even today. So I am registered as an IR with WealthCare. That business is probably, you know, only about $8 million because my focus wasn't there. And that is mostly what I would call my friends and family business. And then underneath the Financial Architects umbrella, became the owner of that 100% in 2016. Have continued to kind of grow that business. And that business today is probably about $64 million in AUM. I think, because I think my combined number is right around 72, 73.
Got it. And if you know off the top of your head, about how many clients does that represent across both kind of books of business, if you will?
Yeah, I think that's one of the reasons I really like my business is because we're only talking about 60 clients.
Gotcha.
And so it's a very small practice from a logistical standpoint and managing those client relationships. And I'm a firm believer that, you know, it is just me. I'm a solo practitioner. So I would say, you know, and I've communicated this to many of my clients that, you know, kind of my capacity, if you will, is probably 75. And, you know, I don't really want to have any more than that because I don't really feel that I can do what I want to do and service those clients the way that I want to service them if I get above that number.
And when you say you're a solo, do you have any admin help or are you literally doing everything yourself?
I do have a part-time admin person. And today it's, you know, probably 20 hours, maybe 20 hours a week at the most. And it's primarily kind of a legacy thing. You know, my admin has been with the firm for probably 20 years.
Yeah.
And her role's kind of reduced over the time that I've been engaged. And it's one of those things, I don't really know when she gets to that point where she's going to leave, if I will actually replace her in the same capacity with somebody else, or if I will use some sort of outsource, you know, admin help, or possibly I'm in an executive suite setup, I might just utilize the people at the desk.
Got it. Well, so thanks for kind of sharing all that to kind of set the table. So this conversation and future conversations, we're calling it the advisor spotlight very deliberately, because we want to literally put a spotlight on you and learn about you and kind of how you think and how you operate. So Brad, how would you categorize, or how would you describe kind of the work you do? Is there anything that you consider kind of unique about who you are or who you serve or how you serve them, or kind of anything like under that umbrella of kind of what you do, how you do it, and why would a client select you over the literally thousands upon thousands of other advisors out there?
I mean, I think what really separates what we do and how we serve our clients is we do take a financial life planning approach. That was introduced to me by my predecessor. And our primary source for that is Money Quotient. And what it really does for me is it sets the stage from the very onset of that relationship or that dialogue with the client that, yes, this is about money, but it's not about money. this is about life, and it truly does engage the client in a way where literally I've had clients, after the first meeting, even after a second meeting, look at me and say, when are we actually going to start talking about my investments? and it's different. We're engaging clients at a different level, if you will, where we're finding out a lot about their history, both personally and financially, things such as money scripts, going back and figuring out, okay, do you have a spending problem or do you just have an earning problem? And what do we relate that back to? So we're going back and finding out, early childhood memories of, what do they remember their parents saying about money? What do they remember being the first ticket, big ticket item that they were able to buy on their own? Do they remember the first job that they had? And, what did they do with that first quote unquote paycheck? So we're really coming about this at a much deeper level, both emotionally and psychologically, to where we get a lot of data and a lot of information prior to even delving into, okay, now what do you have? As far as assets, liabilities, budget, if you're budgeting, what does that look like? And, coming into a practice that quote unquote was probably about, 70% of what it is today when I took over, it was really going back and meeting with those clients and actually expanding upon what had been done in the past, because all of them had already been introduced to financial life planning. But now going back to those same clients and saying, let's look at this stuff differently. They were all, very used to quote unquote calling my predecessor and saying, hey, can I get some money? And I basically had to go back and retrain all those clients and say, you don't call me up and ask for money. You call me up and tell me how much money you want. It's your money. You don't need permission. Now, we might have a dialogue if somebody calls up and says, I need 50 grand, and try and figure out, okay, what are we doing and why, and make sure it fits within the scope of their plan. But it is no longer one of these things where I look at it and say, okay, this is what you gave me as a budget. And so therefore, we're going to create a plan that actually satisfies that budget, which is the traditional way of doing stuff. And it's the way my predecessor did. So going back to those current clients and then obviously new clients and prospects and saying, look, if you need help budgeting, we can do that. Okay. But that budget, the cable bill, the $75 cable bill isn't going to make or break your plan. So we don't really care, and I am not a budget guy. I think budgeting has application, obviously, but also think it's a negative connotation to a lot of people. And so we use a different approach, and we utilize something called First Step Cash Flow, which was introduced to me by Money Quotient. And it's just coming at it a different way. And it does give the client a different experience because they don't feel like they're creating this budget that they've got to live by.
It almost sounds, hearing you describe it that way, it almost sounds like you, this probably isn't the right word, but it almost sounds like you gave permission to clients for them to think about their money differently than maybe they had in the past. Would you say that's fair?
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's also quote unquote, I know one of the things would be, kind of what surprises me the most with the work that I do. It truly is, how difficult it is to encourage a lot of our clients to spend their money. They've spent all these years following a program, if you will, doing a very good job of accumulating money. I would say probably 30% of our clients are in spend down, so they're retired, living off of, pension, Social Security, investment assets, et cetera. And it is very, very difficult to get them to change the mindset of this is what you have the ability to spend versus, well, this is all I need, Brad.
Right.
I get that.
Right.
And it is a challenge every single meeting and every single time we talk of encouraging them to find ways to actually spend at the level that they have the ability to spend based on the plan.
I've experienced the same thing, but that's awesome to hear. And for folks that are listening, that are interested in learning more about Money Quotient or First Step Cash Management, we'll post links to both of those when we get this spotlight out there and shared with everyone. So
yeah, and anybody that would have questions on, how they operate, what the benefit is, I'm more than happy to talk to them too. So
that's awesome. Thanks, Brad. So having had you just kind of share your journey from, wholesaling to now being a financial advisor that has kind of embraced financial life planning and all the benefits of the wealth care approach. Thinking back, what's a favorite client success story that comes to mind? And clearly success is going to be defined by you in this context, but what's a client story that comes to mind?
I would say the biggest success, and it's not financial. it might be one of these days, but the biggest success I would say is a 35-year-old who found me because she listens to what's the radio I'm thinking of? It might come back to me. Oh, National Public Radio.
Gotcha.
And they had ads on there from the CFP board and how important it is to, find a CFP, et cetera. Okay, she lives here locally. She called a couple of different places, gave them, one of two things. Either they did a short phone interview with her or they sent her something to have her complete to send back to them to see whether or not she was worthy of their time. She got no response from anybody. She found us literally by doing, a search on the CFP's website, called us. My belief is I have the time. If somebody calls and would like to sit down and talk, I will take that hour to hour and a half out of my schedule to do that. And so she came in for a meeting, made the introduction, learned a little bit more about her situation, and literally what she was really looking for was help. 35 years old, just was finishing up medical school, $435,000 in student loan debt. She had not completed her boards, but she was employed, and she was a gynecological oncologist. And I look at it, and the more I talk to her, I was like, I think we've got something that we can help, a tool that can help you kind of get to where you're going. Well, ultimately, we had that meeting, came back to her with an engagement letter. We started a relationship, introduced her to First Step Cash Flow, set up everything there. to help her get a grasp on how we were going to go about paying down the student loan debt. And I still remember the end of the second meeting after we engaged, she looked at me and she said, "Is there a reason you think nobody else would talk to me and meet with me?" I said, "Well, I know why." I said, "Because they all looked at you and said they can't make any money off of you." She said, "Well, isn't that kind of short-sighted?" She said, "Because I could be a really good client one of these days." And I said, "That's exactly true." And I said, "And I come about it from a different standpoint and know that you're employed, you're making a good living, you got a mountain of debt. But if I can help you clear that mountain of debt, you know, first and foremost, you're probably going to be a client for the life of me being involved. And second to that, you have the ability to pay me. You're just paying me in a different, you know, non-traditional way, because you're just going to pay me a fee every year while we continue to work through this." You fast forward basically 26 months and she is 100% debt free and has referred three other people to me and probably will always be a referral source. And within probably the span of the next 3 to 4 years, she will be one of my probably top 10 clients.
Wow. That's awesome. Yeah, thanks for sharing that. And you mentioned, I should have asked this earlier, you mentioned she's local. Where is local for you? Where are you based, Brad?
Louisville.
Got it.
In Indiana. So.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you. What a great story. So I think you might have already kind of addressed this when you were talking about kind of reframing money for clients and helping them think about it differently, both in the context of the wealth care plan, but even in a larger, from a larger context with regard to life planning. But what do you think is the biggest challenge that you regularly help people address or solve through your work?
I would say the biggest is trying to get them to a point where we can remove emotion from the equation. I know Russ, you're very familiar with Carl Richards. You know, I've followed and looked and read his stuff for years and years. I use a lot of his sketches, you know, and, you know, the one that I use more than anything is the sketch where you've got the two circles, you know, what's most important, you know, things you can control, what matters or what's most important to you, and kind of where those two circles intersect, you know, is shaded in and there's an arrow that points to it and it says what you should focus on. That is something that I have kind of taken very much to heart and have tried to instill that in as many of my clients as possible. And just kind of as a sidebar, years ago, I guess kind of when Carl started the whole sketch thing as a business, I bought 100 of those 5x7s that had his signature on them. On a nice, really heavy card stock. And every one of our clients get a copy of that framed and sent to them. So if we get a new client and they engage us, that's one of the first things we send to them. You know, it's kind of, hey, as a token of you agreeing to work with us, we wanted to share this with you. And to me, getting that emotion out and kind of getting people, you know, for lack of a better term, to turn off the pornography channel, you know, or channels as they exist today, CNBC, MSNBC, and just ignore the noise. You know what? The markets are going to go up. The markets are going to go down. We've accounted for that in your plan. You know, pay it, put your focus, put your energy on the things that matter the most to you. And I'll give you an example, you know, and this was, 2 Decembers ago, I think, is when, you know, we had the really quote unquote bad December and we hear all this garbage, you know, and, you know, being proactive, at least we reach out to clients and, you know, hey, are you okay? you know, they all are. And, you know, I don't have clients calling me no matter what the market's doing. So we've done something right. But I still remember one client in particular. You know, when I had that conversation, said, hey, just checking in with you and Charles and, you know, making sure you guys are okay with things. I know the market's not been good, et cetera, et cetera. And she stopped me. She said, Brad, you know, you need to understand. We've been there. We've done that. We got the t-shirt. It doesn't matter.
Wow. That's well, I think that's a testament to you doing a good job of kind of reconditioning your clients to think and look at their finances differently and to focus on what they can control. So good for you. What, Brad, what surprised you most about your work as a financial advisor over the last several years?
I mean, I just go back to what I mentioned a little while ago about, you know, how difficult it is to get people to actually spend.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, and it's just an ongoing battle, you know, and what I found is, you know, case in point, got a meeting tomorrow afternoon and these folks are older, they're in their early 80s, but financially they've been in a position for years to gift. Now keep in mind, we are talking about kids that are, if they're not in their 60s yet, they're approaching their 60s. So it's a little different because people don't think of gifting to a 60-year-old, you know, grown adult. But, you know, 4 years of basically mentioning every time we met that, hey, you're in a position to do some gifting if you want, and it would fit nicely into your plan, and we'd get you closer to, quote unquote, the overall spending amount that we say you can get to. You know, I still remember, you know, after that fourth time of talking about this and addressing this, 2 days later, my assistant gets a phone call and she says, hey, Shelly just called in and said they want to do some gifting. Did you know about that? I said, well, yeah, it took 4 years in the making. Yeah. So.
Yeah, it's amazing how you have to gently and with love beat people over the head a few times to get the Absolutely. Message through in some cases. So as we kind of start to maybe head towards wrapping up this conversation, I think an interesting question, and I'd love to get your thoughts on it, is if a college student or, you know, maybe even someone that's approaching the end of high school approached you about becoming a financial advisor, what advice or guidance would you give to someone like that at that kind of age range about the career of being a financial advisor?
One of the first things that I would tell them is this isn't a math thing. Okay. There's plenty of people out there that believe that if they're going to be in the world of, you know, financial planning, you know, investment management, whatever the case may, you know, whatever term you want to use, is that you better be really good at math, you know. And what I have told many of a college student through the FPA, and we've got a couple student chapters that are part of our chapter, I've told many of them, look, this is about relationships. It's about being able to talk to people. It's about behavioral finance more than it is math. And, you know, so long as you understand that, you can have success, and it's a very rewarding, it's a great career, especially if you like people and you like helping people. You know, I have told many of them, you know, from a training standpoint, there's a lot of great places out there that will take you just because they'll take anybody, you know, and I'm not bashing on, you know, companies. But the first one that, you know, I always bring up to everybody is Northwestern Mutual. They have got a great training program. They will pay for everything that you need. You know, all that I caution, you know, and it's generally college students that I'm talking to, you know, I've cautioned plenty of them. I'm like, if you can get your foot in the door there and go get the skill set and the knowledge that's going to help you further your career, then join up with them. The only caution I give you is if you drink the Kool-Aid, just take really small sips. Because otherwise you're going to be a career life insurance agent.
Right.
You know, which is not the same, regardless of what they want us to believe, as a true financial planner.
Yeah, that's great advice. Yeah, I was curious to hear your response or your thoughts. I've gotten that question from college aged folks multiple times too. And so thanks for sharing your thoughts there. If there's one thing, we've covered a lot, Brad, and again, we appreciate you joining and kind of sharing with us today. If there were one thing that other advisors could take away from our conversation, what would you want that one thing to be?
I mean, to me, and because, you know, I do take it, quote unquote, personal in how we do stuff with clients, it would be to at least entertain the possibility of looking at financial life planning and how you could possibly introduce, you know, either introduce it completely across your practice, or at least take nuggets that are available with what's out there, whether it be through Money Quotient or, you know, there's two or three other quote unquote financial life planning entities out there, and how to actually introduce components of that into your practice. I think it changes the dynamic as well as the client experience. But it also brings in a completely unique feeling on behalf of the client, because you're engaging them at such a deeper level than just, hey, what's your assets look like? What's your debt look like? Okay, what are your hopes and aspirations? I mean, that's all needed information. But if you can introduce some of the financial life planning aspects into your practice, I think your clients will see the defined value and definitely the difference in what you're doing versus what most others are doing.
Yeah. Hearing you say that, I mean, the one thing that kind of kept coming to my mind is, I mean, what a great way to differentiate yourself as an advisor in a crowded market of, I think we've all seen numbers that there's hundreds of thousands of quote unquote advisors of different colors and stripes across the country. So sounds like a great way to not only accelerate the trust building, but it really, you know, differentiates you from the person that's out there just trying to sell a insurance policy or a portfolio or that sort of thing. Would say that's fair?
Yep.
Awesome. So Brad, looking back, you've been with WealthCare for many years now. How's WealthCare helped you serve your clients? How's it helped you as an advisor?
You know, in this, and I might, you could probably confirm this or not. I might be stealing this from something I saw from Carl Richards, but I would call it the elegance of simplicity. You know, this does not have to be as difficult as historically we've always tried to make it.
We as advisors, I assume you mean?
Yeah, we as advisors, you know, so really it's the simplicity of what quote unquote WealthCare brings to the table. You know, it is a facet of, you know what, the rest of the crap doesn't matter. You know, you can look at it, but, you know, 20 pages of calculations mean nothing. Okay. What we're trying to bring to the table, and, you know, our clients have finally, you know, they're all there now. You know, we send out quarterly status reports. They look at one page, you know, that's it. You know, they don't look at performance, you know, they get it, but I've never had a single client call me up and ask about their performance. You know, they look at the one page that gives them the quick snapshot. Are we still in a good place? Are we still quote unquote, you know, in the comfort zone? And I think that is genius to a certain extent, because it does simplify things down to a facet of, you're not apologizing for anything, or at least I'm not, with any of our clients, regardless of what the markets have done. You know, they know that, hey, all that matters is, am I still on track, if I'm not retired, to be where I want to be? Or am I still in the right place to spend at the level I want to spend at, because I'm already retired? And the other thing that WealthCare has brought to the table for me is just, it's the efficiency. You know, it's the facet of, you know, as a solo practitioner, you know, I've got a planning team, I've got a trading team, I've got an operations team, you know, so, you know, in a technical sense, you know, clients that would look at me and say, well, is it just you? Okay, yeah, on the door and on the company, it's just me, but we're able to bring our partner, quote unquote, to the table, to where we do have a planning team, a trading team, an operations team. So we've got a very deep bench, even though it is just me as your quote unquote point of contact.
Got it. So looking out, we've kind of talked a lot about, you know, where you're at here now, kind of where you've been in the past and what led you to where you are today. Looking forward, thinking like over the next 3 to 5 years, where do you see yourself wanting to go as a financial advisor and managing your practice and continuing to grow or maybe not?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the things that I struggle with. I'm not quote unquote, you know, what I would consider to be retirement age. I guess retirement age can be any age, but I'm 51 and, you know, I don't have the desire, quote unquote, to exit the business. So, you know, I look at it, you know, kind of that 5-year time frame. I have to decide sometime in the next probably 2 years to 3 years, you know, what trajectory I'm going to take. I'm not, quote unquote, in what I would call a growth mode. I do get referral business. I do, you know, add a new client, you know, probably every few months, but I'm not aggressively out there marketing. I'm not aggressively out there trying to grow the business. You know, similar to my clients, I have my own financial plan and my financial plan is more than satisfied. And so I don't see the benefit in, hey, let's go out and make more money just to make more money. So my big thing today is, what am I going to do relative to transition? You know, am I going to try and go find, quote unquote, that junior advisor? Am I going to go try and find Brad?
Right.
At a younger age?
Yeah.
And basically, you know, kind of do the same thing that I did coming into, you know, the larger practice here, which is financial architects. And getting somebody to come on board, making sure that, quote unquote, they have the same mentality, they have the same thought process, they have the same values, the same morals, to do what's right for the client and put them in a position to, over time, you know, be able to own the practice so that we are creating, quote unquote, that legacy. You know, we're getting more and more of, quote unquote, our clients' kids as clients. And while that's great from an insulation of the practice, you know, I'm a realist. I know, you know, these 30-something-year-old kids, you know, even if they're 40-something, I'm not going to be here working with them when they hit retirement. You know, so my big thing today is, you know, while I am personally not trying to grow the practice, you know, tremendously, if I bring on that person to kind of take that next step and start looking at that transition, then, you know, we've got to switch things a little bit and switch gears and get a little bit in the growth mode so that I'm not, you know, quote unquote, taking too much of the profit out of my pocket, but put somebody else in a position to have success and, you know, be able to still offer what we're offering clients today for their clients.
Right, right. Well, I look forward to maybe checking back in with you here in a couple, 3 years and maybe seeing where you're at on that path to making a decision or putting a plan in place. What's up, Brad? What's the best way for people to learn more about you or get in touch if they want to just learn more about kind of who you are or what you're doing, or maybe want to learn more about Money Quotient or some of the other tools that you mentioned today?
I mean, easiest thing for me is, I mean, they can feel free to just call my cell phone. I don't really care. You know, it's 502-727-2800. Second, you know, we do have, you know, quote unquote, a website. It is lifetimesolution.com. And you get a lot of the quote unquote, same thinking as a lot of what we've discussed here is kind of, you know, our thought process, kind of how we approach stuff, et cetera. On the Money Quotient side, you know, either go to Money Quotient's website or call me if you want to, you know, find out more about that. Same with First Step Cash Flow. You know, go to their website, call me. I'm not the social media mogul like you are. So I don't have a big social media presence. I'm on LinkedIn and I don't even really ever do anything on it. I'm not on Facebook. I'm not on Twitter. So, you know. Because probably the easiest thing at the end of the day is just to talk to me.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate you putting yourself out there and offering and to be available to folks that might have questions or will learn a little bit more about, you know, kind of what you're doing behind the scenes and maybe get some more details on some of the things we've talked about. We went a little longer than I had kind of planned, but I think it was a great conversation. I always enjoy talking to you, Brad, and we really appreciate you stepping up and being the first victim on the advisor spotlight. So any closing thoughts, anything else you'd want to share before we wrap it up?
I didn't know I was the first, but that's okay.
always got to be a first. So,
right.
But we go ahead.
I mean, the only thing I could say is, I think those of us that quote unquote are working with WealthCare, really do look at the business differently, in regards to, kind of the traditional sense. And, we're biased. I am heavily biased. I know that. I admit it. I've looked at a lot of stuff out there. I saw a lot as a wholesaler. I truly believe that, what we're doing through our work with WealthCare and using their planning software and, frankly, using the investment side of things as well is the best thing that I can do for my clients, unless, something changes dramatically with WealthCare, I don't see that changing anytime in the near future. And so I appreciate WealthCare and, what they've been able to help me do to benefit both me and my clients.
Well, speaking on behalf of the firm, we're glad to have you as part of the WealthCare family and have you continue doing the great work you're doing for your clients and for some clients you've yet to meet yet. So, Brad, thanks again for joining us today. This has been a great conversation. Always enjoy talking to you, and we'll look forward to catching up with you again here soon.
That sounds good. I appreciate it, Russ.
You bet.